Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. We're going to thank you, worship team. That was beautiful. You have to understand something. Originally, first of all, thank you for being here. Thank you for everyone who's online. If you're watching this, we thank you very much for participating and being part of this time of worship and praise. Originally, when I did this sermon, I wanted to call this The Magi, The Maniac, and The Master. You know, I like to be a little bit over the top. But, you know, every now and then I pray to God. I'm like, Lord, change me if something doesn't seem right. So originally that was the picture that you see there. That was the original sign. But all of a sudden I'm speaking with God, and he says to me, I want you to go a little bit different. You're going to still do the same sermon, but I want the theme to be a little bit different. And I was thinking about the joy and the happiness that we have, because 'tis the season. We're still staying in the rhythm and where Pastor Andy has taken us on 'tis the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. Can't forget that. We can't forget him. And everybody's so celebrating on this. But God had me focus in a different route. And I'll tell you that instead of it being the Magi, the Maniac, and the Master, it's going to be Christmas inside out. Christmas inside out, because God was telling me about focusing on joy and pain. And so when I hear the world proclaim, and I hear I am to worship and comfort in joy, and I sit there laughing and giggling like, yes, I got your message. I am definitely staying there. But when I say Christmas inside out, I want you to think, if you have any kids and you have not seen this movie yet, this is probably one of the most profound movies you will ever see about emotions and so much more. You have joy, and she's the big celebrating person. If you haven't been inside out, it's a theological treatise for you to enjoy and appreciate of the emotions that we go through. Wouldn't you all say that 2020 has been a very emotional year? There have been highs. There have been more lows than anything else. And so this idea of Christmas inside out, we are going to go through the five W's of what this story is about, but I want you to think about this movie, and if you haven't picked it up, pick it up. Trust me, you'll enjoy it. Not because you're, and if you don't have kids, it's still okay for you to own Inside Out. It's a beautiful story. Let's get into the word here. But before, let me do that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for us seeing another day. The sun's been up, the sun's been down. 2020 has been a roller coaster of temperatures, emotions, and events that just rock us to the side and knocks us off the normal thing called life. But you are our solid hope. You are a redeemer, and we now celebrate the Christ child coming to die for the world. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up and giving us another day to worship you and praise you and magnify you, Father. Be exalted in this hour. Be with those who are present here as well as those who are online. We continue to lift up the under-shepherd of this home, of this house of worship, to you, that you continue to minister to him as he sent home another family member and saint and servant for you, Father God. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas inside out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is so written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will be a shepherd, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And into the house they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and they worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. You know, it's just, you know, this is another phase as we go through looking at what God is saying in this time of Jesus, the reason for the season. But sometimes one of the things that I have seen is we have a lot of habits that we develop around this time, Christmas time. Many of us, we celebrate this. We started off with a lot of different things of movies that makes us happy. Some of you, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Some of you may even think Die Hard. Right about now, everyone has an argument. What's constituted as a good Christmas movie that you would watch as the fireplace is roaring and the poinsettias are dancing? Now, for me, I had to think about this. I was like, okay, so I have my favorites, and I have a few movies. So I'm going to go with one here, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. It's Four Christmases with Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn. Now, you can see someone sitting here laughing here because they probably said it. Now, before you get all like, Watson, that's not a Christmas movie. I stretched a little bit on trying to say that Four Christmases is a Christmas movie, but I dare say that some of you probably have a couple of movies that I would probably question. You know, Nakatomi Plaza is not a Christmas story, no matter how badly Hans Gruber dies. but you see, we have these habits of what we do with Christmas, and it takes up our time, and it sometimes takes our focus away from worshiping Christ, worshiping the Christ child, because we just have our habits that we work out on here. You know, and hopefully as we go through the five W's, when, where, what, why, and who and why, hopefully we can restore this back to what Christmas is really all about. Let's look at when, where, and what. The scripture passage says, now, after. You have to understand that this event that took place, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. This happened about a year or two after the birth of Christ. So last week when we were with Pastor Andy, he's talking about the circumcision, when he was sitting there talking about the baby dedication. We're now looking at about a year or so after of when this is taking place. And because of our habits and everything like that, because of the decorations and everything that we could do, we need to probably do, when I say Christmas inside out, we need to do an inside, in-depth, intentional Bible study into the Christmas narrative so that it does not get distorted by Christmas trees that come up before Thanksgiving or Amazon Christmas shopping before Labor Day because we're so focused on the event of Christmas that we sometimes lose sight of the event of Christmas. We forget who we're celebrating, and I think that sometimes, you know, from Santa Claus to nativity scenes to wrapping paper, eggnog, elf on the shelf, Christmas is on everyone's mind. It's so much on everyone's mind. I have friends on Facebook that on December 26, okay, one day after Christmas, they post a countdown to the next Christmas. You know you've seen it. You know some of you probably been sharing them yourselves. 16 weeks to Christmas, 33 days. You're counting everything down, counting down to Black Friday. And see, and that's I'm not saying we can't celebrate Christmas. Because one of the things that's really interesting, when I sit there seeing the countdown for Christmas, you know what I never see is a countdown for the crucifixion. I never see a countdown for the crucifixion. And it's very telling because we're so focused on the joy. Joy! We're so focused on the joy of the moment of the Christ child coming and the presents and the gifts and everything that we give out. But the Christ child was born to die. The story doesn't end with the birth. The story begins with the life that's going to die to give us life. See, that's the reason why I'm not saying we can't enjoy Christmas. I'm just saying we have to do something a little bit different. So, I'm going to make a big request here. You're going to modify your nativity scenes. Take the wise men out. Because wise men weren't there in the manger. They weren't there. Let's get it all straight so we set the whole process correctly. I'm not saying we can't celebrate Christmas, but let's celebrate it correctly. Because of the fact that we have to start telling people the correct story of the child born to die to save the world. I wonder, is it possible that our inconsistencies on the Christmas narrative has really been those contradictions that people see? You know how many times people say, well, I don't believe in the Bible because it's just full of fantasies and it contradicts itself. Are we the walking contradiction that people see? Because normally we are the only Bible that people see. And if we as Christians, as followers of Christ, cannot do it correctly, are we not fooling them all the more? Now, you have to understand, there's a lot that's in this 66-book love letter that God gives us. It's easy to confuse yourselves with this whole aspect because, you know, was it the baby? What was it here? And then there was a slaughtering because, you know, this slaughtering process that happens with Herod killing trying to kill the children in Bethlehem, doesn't it rhyme similar to what Pharaoh did to the children in Egypt? When we saw baby Moses turning around and all those children killed because he didn't want a ruler coming up affecting his throne. Same way with Herod, in the same manner. And I think sometimes with all the stories that we get, we kind of mix it up. Let's look at the whole idea of when, where, and what. Even though this is about a year and a half, about a year, 2 years later, they're still in Bethlehem. Then you have to understand that this strategically, I don't do a whole lot of war games, but I like strategy, and I was thinking this whole process, Joseph, Mary, baby, Herod, craziness, get out of here, get out of town, get out of Dodge. So ideally, Bethlehem is the best place for them to do this because of the fact that, you know what, there's a massacre on its way. Did they stay in Bethlehem? I'm going to say possibly. Let's look at another verse I want to talk to. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 39. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God grew upon him. Does this mean that they stayed in Nazareth? I mean, really, after everything was all said and done, did they stay in Nazareth? You know, it was one of the things that's really interesting that I found out, walking, and this is what I got from Google Maps, so you know this is the truth. It was on the internet. From Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 33 hours walking. Now, you have to remember, now this is current day times. This is current day infrastructure. These are improved roads and things like that. So let's add an extra day or two to this whole process of them walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Is that the Jerusalem one? I gave you the wrong map. Sorry, that one's about 2 hours shorter, but I'll make sense on this as to why on this particular passage. Yeah, there you go. About the whole idea of they did everything according to the law. So about 33 hours. Add 2 days to this on travel. Well, we know going back, it was probably a lot easier for them to go back to Nazareth if they did leave, like Luke said, immediately after the baptism and the dedication. And it would have been a lot easier because Mary was no longer pregnant. Now she's carrying the baby outside instead of carrying the baby on the inside. You know, but it makes me think about the whole idea that they were a walking people. They did a lot of walking. I even think about my family and friends in Haiti. When they have to get to the city to get supplies, they walk hours one way. get their supplies, some of them throw it on their head, and they walk back for hours back into the market, back into the mountains to get to their cities. I think most of us, how many of you would like to walk for 3 hours? How many of you would like to walk for 33 hours? You know, the inside out, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You would not want to hear that. You would not want to deal with this. But this idea of the whole life, of them walking and traveling, strategically for me, it works better for them to be inside of Bethlehem. Let's go into another passage here on Luke chapter 2, 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now this is about 2 hours shorter walking, but again, this is improved roads as we watch and we understand how far that they were going. Now some people have alluded to the fact that Joseph and Mary could have had a home in Bethlehem. And it makes sense if Joe's being a carpenter. Maybe he has employment opportunities there. With all the feasts and the festivals and their being there, it's probably a good idea not to just do that long 2-day journey and not have a place to stay. I think that for me, the idea of them being here in Bethlehem, it works best because of them needing to flee. This is interesting. I want you to look at this. I don't have it with you here. But I found a map where it showed where going from Jerusalem from Bethlehem to Cairo would have been about 6 days' journey. But again, this is modern day maps. Yes, modern day maps of 6-day journey. But I'm thinking back then, it probably could have taken 2 to 3 weeks, if not more, one way. And we haven't even included stops. We haven't included rests. This is not easy on a family. So it's a lot of walking. By driving, it would have been 9 hours. Now, I've driven 4 hours straight a couple of times. I've driven back to New York a couple of times by myself, and, taking I-70 to 76, going through the Jersey Turnpike, it's about 18 hours, and it's miserable driving by yourself. 14 if I take 71 to 90 up towards the top and go right in, and you can get there a whole lot faster. But again, still, it's a lot of driving. It's a lot of walking. And it made me wonder, how far would we go? How far would we drive? How far would we walk to get our families out of danger to keep them safe? How far would you go? How far would we go? If we knew there was present danger, how far would we go? It's just amazing because sometimes we get so comfortable in what we're doing. We get so comfortable in what we're doing that we don't want to get up and leave. I'm telling you, the thing is so funny about, you can't see it right now, but the sad person, she's blue. She's sad. She's blue. She mopes. She just drags herself on the floor when she's doing this thing. And sometimes we are that way that we can get so comfortable in life. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't care how uncomfortable life is. I'm just going to stay here and keep my head down and not going to do anything. And God is sometimes thrusting upon us the urgency to get up and take life by the hands and be serious. I think that, again, as crazy as 2020 has been, I've always believed that it's been a reset moment for our lives. We have lost a lot of the creature comfort things that we love doing, and God is basically saying, I'm resetting you. It's time to get up. It's time to travel and get away from these things that have made you far too comfortable for far too long. And I'm praying that we have to change our disposition. I'm still in the first verse here. Let's get back to that passage. I apologize. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? For we saw him, for his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. You have to understand that these men, they came from the east to worship Christ. Now, we don't have to worry about where from a geographic perspective where they came from. People have had a lot of different arguments about the nature of them. We normally would sing these three kings. You know, we have those Christmas songs that we celebrate. Some would say that they were magi, they were wise men, they were learned men. They were astrologers. They followed the stars, they followed the signs to see exactly what's going on. So these were very intelligent people. These weren't fools. They weren't unlearned men like the shepherds that we hear about in the other passages talking about the Christmas story. But it's very powerful when we look and we see that these wise men made an endeavor to find the Christ child that was born because they followed the signs, they followed the star, and then they wanted to worship and worship Christ alone. I think that we ourselves, in this time of Christmas, in this time called 2020, in this time called COVID, in this time of lockdown, in this time of restrictions, God is saying to, like us, follow the wise men, find the Christ child, and worship him. We say for so long, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? It just sounds so good. It alliterates. It just rumbles off the mouth and everything like that. But do we really mean it? Because we're still wrapped up in so much commercialism around Christmas that we've lost the flavor and the power of the Christ child born to die. Because Jesus is the reason for the season, it sounds great, but it doesn't say Christ child born to die. See, because the idea of him dying is where our real hope is. That's where the real promise is, that the final sacrifice has come into the world to redeem fallen mankind. I know the gifts are great. I know you got a great deal on that gift. Amazon Black Friday was amazing. You got great deals. Hey, and guess what? Walmart did Black Friday all month long, so you did not have to wait out early in the morning. Oh, the great deals. But I'm telling you, the greater deal, the greater gift is the Christ child. The greater gift is the Christ child. You know, it's interesting because people have talked about the whole idea of, well, there weren't three magi. There were more than that. There were tons of magi who showed up. I mean, honestly, when God moves people to humble themselves and fall at the feet of our Lord, we celebrate if one or many. Now, we normally say it's only three wise men because of the gifts that they gave, the gold, the myrrh, the frankincense. Regardless of how many came to worship Christ, regardless of the number of people who were at this amazing event, they did one thing. They came to worship Christ. That is so powerful. I want you to see a scripture passage that just really, really highlights this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee will bow. The magi, these wise men, these learned individuals probably have PhDs out the wazoo. And they said, you know what? I throw it all away because I come to worship Christ. You know, the Bible college that I attended with Andy Lee, Pastor Andy Lee, sorry, I want to make sure I do that right proper. it was interesting. I had this one class in systematic theology. We had to study different individuals and find out how far people will go with all the degrees, all the letters that they have behind their names. And there was this one guy that I studied. His name was J.G. Dunn. And he had so many letters. It almost looked like he had an alphabet after his own name. That's how many degrees that he had. But he was a learned man, and there are many learned individuals, men and women of God, who go to school, who go to seminary, and they do everything they can to disprove the reality of Jesus Christ. And it's mind-boggling because it's like, wait. You went to Bible college? Wait. You went to Christian seminary and you walk out doubting the reality of Christ? Something is wrong with you, and something is wrong with the church or the school that you went to, the learning institution, because what does the Bible say? Knowledge puffs up. And see, at this particular period of time, I believe that as God is stripping away all the things that we hold dear to, as God is stripping away all the things that we take pride in our innovation, pride in all the different things that we do, God is winnowing us down to our most simplicity that you can see. The simple message, the Christ child born to die to save the world. This is the powerful message of Christmas. This is the powerful message because of the fact that it sets us up for the amazing thing that happens when we turn around and we look up to heaven and we worship and we celebrate God. Here's another verse that I love this on, because when people are moved to celebrate and worship and put God in his proper place, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. God's fingerprint, God's masterwork of creation, and so much that he has done is speaking to us through his 66 love letters, saying how much he loves us. We get some, I love my grandkids. I got them boatloads of stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna spoil my grandkids. Their parents can't do anything to me about it. I'm just gonna send them off, give them chocolate, give them gifts, give them all these other different things. The biggest gift is Jesus. The biggest gift is Jesus. So when I say Christmas inside out, we have to just basically rip it all out. Gut out all the superficial stuff that we're doing and get back to its bare essential of worshiping Christ. If we can't do it, and then we sit there, we wonder why. Oh my goodness, do you see who we have in government on this side of the aisle and that side of the aisle? It's because we haven't put the Christ child in those government officials, in our homes, in our businesses, in our schools, in our churches, in our world, because we have lost sight of the purpose of why we are here and why he came. Oh, Lord Jesus, please help us. Chapter 2, verse 4. An assembling, I want to go back actually for a second, I forgot this. You sit here and you wonder who and why. I want to take a look at this for a second here. Then Herod said, when Herod heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ is to be born. The Magi, now get this. This is what's really key. When you look at this, the Magi sought to worship while the maniacs, because remember I had maniac was, the thing here. The maniacs showed worry. He says he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. So let's make you feel a little bit uncomfortable here. How many of you have ever experienced roaches? I hate roaches. They're just dirty. They're disgusting. And they, But what's so interesting about roaches is they congregate in the darkness. You can feel them. Even talking about it just giving me the heebie-jeebies. I hate roaches. Thank you, Jesus, being in Indiana. I have no roaches. But when you turn the light on, they scatter. And it's like this right now that, think about this. Pastor Andy last week took us through beautiful passages. You had the servant who died, who got a chance to hold the risen, the born child. Then you had the prophetess Anna excited. And then we continue in this passage here where the Magi are continuing the story of worshiping the Savior, the born Savior. But the king of Judah, he's worried. He's troubled. And all the people with them. Because I believe that the light of Christ in this child that was coming started exposing the darkness. And this is what troubled them. When we are celebrating Christ, when we are vehicles, when we are avenues and conduits of God's love, mercy, and grace, the light of Christ shines in us and through us to this dark world. But when we are, our minds are just, oh, it's just cluttered with things and stuff, we fail to be that light that Christ has called us to be. And you have to understand, why was it that they didn't want to be exposed? John 3:19 basically says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. It's plain and simple. They didn't want the Christ child because that means that they're going to be exposed. Matthew chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4, it said, assembling all the chief priests and scribes and the people, he inquired of them, where the Christ is to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. So it's written by the prophet, O you Bethlehem in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will be my shepherd, who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, you have to understand something. It seems like this is, you're like, Watson, but look, check this out. I mean, Herod, he's screwing everything up, but this is really cool because he called people who know the Word of God to get into the Word of God to figure out where the Son is, right? It sounds good. It sounds awesome, right? Let's go to another passage for a second here. Because I want to go back to where your pastor was over this summer. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 2 and 10 through 13. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and when he heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes, and the king commanded, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all of Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for it is great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that was written concerning us. I went to this passage, and I take you back to the response from Herod, because we have two different responses by two kings of Judah. One, obstinate dictators never read the word, so they never see their sin and wallow in the false sense of humility and righteousness or rightness with God. Whereas obedient disciples read the word, see their sin, weep in shame, and glory in his grace and mercy that has secured their redemption. See, when we sit here and we recognize why Jesus is here, we're like, praise God, I'm so messed up, I'm so screwed up, but God, I am redeemed because of God. You remember that joy? You know, we were skipping when we became believers. We loved it. I do a cartwheel, but I don't want to take out the Christmas tree. But you sit here and we talk about the joy that we had about, the joy about being a believer. Jesus saved me, the cross. You know, I mean, we couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And I'm just trying to figure out in the season of Christmas how we stop talking about Jesus. I think it's just, we're just so busy. It's just so crazy. But God in his mercy, he knew we'd be this way. It's an irony. There's an irony of this. You know, it's so sad. The people who claim to know the Word of God showed how deficient they were in their biblical knowledge. But there's a danger with biblical knowledge, and I want you to understand this. Biblical knowledge without comprehension, introspection, and application is spiritual indifference and apathy that leads to a very dangerous and unrepentant lifestyle. So let me break that down for you quickly. You can actually comprehend the word. You can read the word but not understand the word. You can read the word but not allow the word to pierce your soul. You can read the word and not allow the word to change your actions in life. Because there's a lot of people, we can do this. I'm running into people who feel so comfortable that I don't need the word. I need the word. I don't care how much Bible study I've had. I don't care how much Bible education I have. I need the word. Because I can get stuff screwed up. I can mess it up. I can get into the habit of just repeating what everybody else is saying. We need the word so it could transform us. You understand this. Herod's apostasy in this passage is a clear warning for us. Herod's apostasy is a clear warning for us to let us know, don't get too comfortable in how you're living. Don't get too comfortable in how you're living because of the fact that I will rock your world if it means getting your attention so you can be obedient and shine my name to the world. I like this. Brother Bruce, I believe, covered this a couple months ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Christ is Jesus, Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. 2020 has been a test for all of us. 2020 has been a challenge for all of us. And as our emotions go up and down, and probably don't need to do that on screen, but as it goes up and down, what does the test of life say about us? What does that test say? As Jesus, we celebrate Christ, celebrate Jesus. I'm telling you, you know, I am not, what's the word for it? I'm not a Grinch. But sometimes you get so busy and just certain things, it just doesn't seem that important. Was it the day before? Was it the day before we finally did that? Last year, we were so busy getting things done, we did not put our Christmas tree up until like the day before Christmas. It was like, oh, let's get the tree up. Let's just do it now. Because there were just so many other different things that just mattered at that moment. Again, if you put the tree up in July, I'm okay with that. I'm not condemning you. Hey, listen, I used to collect natural trees and put them in because I love the smell of the pine and everything like that. And I had one in the back of my Ford Explorer because I was going to take it to the dump yard. But it was like May, and the tree was still back there because I just love the smell. It was better than those other things that never keep the smell and you hang from the window and everything like that. I had a live tree in my back seat, in the back of my truck. I'm not convicting you over that. I'm just basically saying we need to be about being obedient, repentant, and following our lives, of making it mirror that Christ has truly touched us and is changing us in our lives. Verse 9, it says, after listening to the king, they went their way. And behold, the star that they had seen went when it rose before them until it came over the resting place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the Christ child with his mother, Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. You know, this is really interesting. The Magi, again, I keep hitting this over and over and over again. This is really powerful because the Magi came to worship the Christ. If there's any other message you're going to hear from me today, let us worship the Christ. Let us worship the Christ child. Please, let's worship him. Because of the fact that, let's get back to what we like to say. Jesus is the reason for the season. But let's live it. Let's be that way. Let's not be like Herod, who just, I want to find a word. Show me where Jesus is so I can go worship him. Did you find him? No. Seek him. Find him. Worship him. You know how... I talked about us not doing the tree until the last minute. We have this thing that we've done. I don't know if it was because of my circumstances in growing up with parents being from Haiti and everything like that, but we didn't have Christmas often. It wasn't that we didn't want to have it. We just couldn't afford to have Christmas. I think the last time I'd remembered a Christmas was when I was 5 years old. So we didn't have many Christmases. And I'm cool with that. I'm not scarred. I'm happy because it put me in a proper disposition that I recognize that it's not about me. It's not about me. So we do a thing with our kids, and I've tried to do it even with my son for the longest time, is we only give one gift to the child for Christmas. Each child only gets one gift. On their birthday, we'll give them tons of gifts. But on Christmas, it's about Christ. It's about the Christ child, so we only give them one gift. Now we figured out a way to legally work around that thing where we give all three girls one gift, so they get 1.3 gifts that they get for Christmas. But still, it's the idea of focusing. And now you do it whatever way you want to, but I remember watching, and don't hate me for this, but I'm a writer and I'm trying to develop movies, so I study movies just to see what's going on. I think it was the second Harry Potter movie, and it opens up the scene where Harry's in the house with his relatives, and it's the kid's birthday, or it might have been Christmas or something like that, and he gets 31 gifts. Now, how many of us would like to have 10 gifts, let alone 31? But he was so upset. Why? Because the year before, he got 33 gifts. 31 gifts! You know how awesome it would be just to even get three? My kids would love three gifts. 31. And see, and I think that's the reason why is sometimes we take the event out of it because of all those other different things, trying to make everybody happy instead of trying to make God happy. Let's try and make God happy on this. This is where I know where it hits me on the Christmas. John 21, I want to look at verse 15 for a second here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter is grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my sheep." When we're about the business of God, we make disciples who are followers of Christ. And those disciples make more disciples who are followers of Christ. Why? Because the focus is on God. The glory is for God. But if we're not about his commandment to make more disciples who worship and appreciate him, because remember, understand this, we weren't there originally. A lot of us, we rejected the truth of God. A lot of us rejected. We didn't want to be compelled by the word of God, but God sent disciples to make us disciples. And once we get Jesus back to being the reason for the season, I believe that we will have so many more people like the Magi celebrating the King came, who came to die and save the world. Let us do the best that we can. It's interesting. They said, during the event, when this took place, they said that there were about three planets that came together to make this amazing event of this star shining and allowed the shepherds to get to where they need to. And so here it is that we are coming to this next Sunday evening, early Monday morning. We're going to have another amazing event. Everybody's ready for it, right? Another Christmas star! December 21st. We're looking for this. Saturn and Jupiter are coming together. They're going to create this amazing event we haven't seen in 800 years. Sorry, I just thought it was great to say it that way. But it's interesting because when this happened earlier in the Bible, they said it was three planets that happened. Now only two. I believe there's a reason why there's one planet missing. I believe, you know, they talked about these planets aligning. I believe that that third planet is us. As we align ourselves with the Word of God, if we align ourselves with the Word of God, we shine the light of Christ and hope to the world. That's Christmas inside out. Let's pray. Most heavenly, most awesome Father, we thank you for Jesus, the reason for the season. We thank you for the Christ child born to die and save the world. We thank you for humbling yourself to come out of glory to redeem us broken, fallen, and hurting individuals. as people are dealing with joy and people are dealing with pain, as people are dealing with loss and grief, Lord, you are the light in the world. You are the light of the world, and we celebrate in you. So I pray, Lord, now that you would minister to those broken souls, minister to those broken hearts, whether they're here or online or wherever they may be, Father, rescue them from the darkness like you did 2,000 years ago in the birth and in the death and in the life that you offer because of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.